You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Beyond excited tonight, guys. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another wonderful pod hour with Mr. Jim Francis Meza. If I may say so myself, right? We have another great show with the great candidate for this particular show, since it's Latino History Heritage Month, rather. We're going to talk a little bit about and enlighten you about what it is to be Chicano.
Yep.
We're also going to talk about music and the fabric of America now that's changing as a result of a lot of musicians that are breaking barriers in every respect of the word. That said, let me just go ahead and introduce my next guest who I've been itching to talk to for a while.
Thank you.
His name is El Santo del Valle. Please,
what's up, guys? My name's El Santo del Valle. Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure, man. It's a pleasure. I made myself at home, as you can see. So I'm here just vibing.
I love your, you know, I really do dig your vibe and it's super, you know, we gelled right away. As soon as we started talking, we chopped it up. And then, yeah, man, I really, you know, there's a lot to be said about what it is to be Chicano and a Chicano singer, in your case, you know. Do you consider yourself like a hip-hop artist?
Just an artist, because I got a lot of ideas that break through genres, you know.
Because
if I consider myself a rap, I mean, I guess you could say if there was a way to label me,
yeah,
a rapper, because I really can't sing, you know. Like, I tried to sing, but I can't sing.
Can't hold a note real well or what? But that's for us to, you know, sort of, it's realistically the listener, the viewership in this case, there's millions of people watching at home or in their cars these days, right? Because we have these portable instruments. It's for us to be the judges of that. You cannot possibly think that you don't know how to sing.
I'm just a perfectionist, man.
I noticed that from the moment we began. We hit it off pretty well, but I noticed you are a perfectionist.
It's if it's not right for me, then I got to fix it. And that's why I always have a bunch of, if you ever listen to my music, I have a bunch of like other singers to fill in the void for that part. Like, I wrote the lyrics and everything, and I just need their voices. And one thing that I always do in my music is that I always get Latino people to sing it because I need their voices to be on my song.
Love it, yeah.
You know, like, what better way than just connecting to Latinos.
So, let's back up. This guy right here is very instrumental in bringing the Mexican flag with him everywhere he goes and raising awareness to our Latino people. So, they say you wear certain things like a badge of honor. You literally wear the flag around you in some of your videos. Was that something?
And live performances too.
And your live performances. Because you perform in a lot of places. You perform in Mexico.
Bars, Mexico. Like actual like showrooms everywhere.
That's cool, man. And like, where do you draw your inspiration? Like, early on, like, did your dad have music around the house 24/7, or your mom, or?
I would say Mexican parties.
Mexican
parties.
Yeah.
Growing up, a bunch of cumbias, you know, rhythm. That's one thing I always picked up since I was a kid.
Right.
Just that rhythm, like, we have that rhythm.
Yeah.
And then listening to other music through the radio, you kind of don't hear that. You hear just like something else, like kicks and snare, like boom, tap, boom, tap, and all that. But we have that rhythm, and we dance to that rhythm. And, you know, going with norteños too, you know, it's the same rhythm too as well. The boom, tap, boom, tap, boom, tap, boom, tap.
You know where that comes from, right? It's a polka.
Polka.
Yeah, so the Polish people brought about that. Yeah, to Mexico. Isn't that amazing? And then people started like, then you listen to the music and a lot of it sounds like polkas. And that's where you get that. So it's amazing, bro. Like all that, and so you have a sensitive ear, you know, to a touch. Like you could listen to something and go, oh my god.
I hear similarities of like how it sounds, like the polka song that you just said.
Yeah.
That's Mexican regional music, you know? Yeah. We call that regional music. Right, so it's funny you say that because it's like we took, you know, a part of something that was something else and we made it our own. And
totally. Like the mariachi, like if you have a mariachi ensemble, like the clothing, it's Spanish, bro. Like a lot of that comes from Spain.
And
German.
What is it called? The bullfighting? You know how they dress like that?
Yeah, that
really looks like a mariachi. Think about it. Now I'm thinking about it. I am. I'm like, whoa.
You're going to have, now see, it's I'm connections. Getting your mind like just like going, so you're going to start like probably, you know, brewing the music in your head. Like, oh, dude, I can come up with like, matador, matador. You could do like a version of that.
No. Now you're saying something. I might sample that. Hey, if you ever hear that song, this man's responsible for it.
I coined the whole thing, matador, matador. And then you're going to add like all the, you know. Probably make it your own, of course.
Yeah.
You also have to, for sure, we want to.
We got
to
keep evolving the music.
Man. Yeah, it always keeps moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's it. So let's back up because we'll get into, obviously, we want to talk about your music per se. But I love that, you know, like, would you just opened up like a whole world of questions for me, you know, a barrage of questions.
Ask away, man. I'm an open book.
That I come at you. You know, like, do you like the current, you know, direction of music here in the States? Because it's very heavily Mexican influenced. You notice?
Yeah.
You know, you got Peso Pluma who came on the scene strong with the one song collaboration that wasn't even his song, but it's to be fair, it was another band's original song, and so he sung in it. He was like had a part, a bit part, and then. The rest, as they say, is history. I hate to sound cliche, but it's the truth. And then, you know, then he evolved into his style, which is like a lot of rap influence also, huh?
Yeah.
And then they created this new genre of music, sort of.
He did. No, I get you. It's, honestly, I love it because he's opening doors for people like
for
me.
For everybody.
You know? Because people are going to hear that specific sound, and then they're going to want more. Like, what else are you... You know, these Mexican foods are going to be able to bring. You know, what else do these Mexican people got that I haven't heard? And then when they start digging through the crates, like a record, you know, like you're digging through, oh, what's this? Oh, El Santo del Valle. Let me listen to this guy.
So who is El Santo del Valle?
El Santo del Valle is someone that's hip-hop influenced, like hip-hop drums, like, you know how it is. Like the groove and all that, the funk. But it's that sound, like I said, that the rhythm, the main rhythm of it, on top of hip-hop drums, with samples of, like, norteño music, of those, like, 70s románticas music, like Los Terricola, Las Muecas, all those people from back then. That's what my dad listens to.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, like the electric piano.
Sure.
You know,
synthesizer like, and all those stuff. Like
everything. Like,
so would you say it's a lot like Chicano Batman? They have their heavily influenced.
Yeah,
that
it's like that,
degree.
But modernized.
Right,
I don't know how to explain it, but it's at the end of the day. Oh, with some guitar of like Santana.
Yeah,
you know, up on that. So it's a bunch of like, let me take a little bit of this. Let me take a little bit of that. Let me take a little bit of this. It's essentially like I'm building my own house, but I'm gathering materials from different places.
I love that. And that's later going to talk about construction, right? Okay, because I love it. All the roads leads back to construction. Like it's great because.
But like the poetic way, my bad for cutting you off. But the poetic way of rap. I don't just rap about like money and fame and cars. Like I talk about the just life, like how it is for someone like me. Mm-hmm. And I got that main influence from Tupac. You know, when you listen to his thing, it's deep.
It really is.
And that's just. That's my main influence there. I don't know, man.
But where is your name derived from? Where is the birth from?
El Santo del Valle?
Yeah.
Well, my real name is, you know, in case I have a warrant. I'm just kidding. I'm all good. I got a clean record.
Is that the reason why you're hiding behind this moniker?
I don't know what you're saying, man. Nah. My full name is Sergio Angel Godinez Hernandez, but... We're just going to focus on Sergio Angel Godinez. Sergio, in Roman times, you know, when... You know how our culture is super religious. Super, super religious. You go to Mexico, what you see? pictures, you see crosses, you see the Virgin Mary, you see everything in every pueblo, every house, everything. So Sergio, in Roman times, when, you know, obviously when they killed Jesus and all that time, Sergio means warrior.
Oh, wow.
Soldier, to be exact.
Sorry, yeah.
Angel, we ain't got to say much about that.
Right.
Godinez, G-O-D.
God.
So it's like angel, soldier of God. And I was born in the San Fernando Valley in the Los Angeles County.
Nice.
But the original name for Los Angeles was Nuestra Señora Reina de Los Angeles. So it's just a perfect place.
Queen of Angels.
It's very a perfect cool. place. If you bring all that together, with my culture, religious, super, super religious.
You and even have like at some point I noticed you had beads and stuff, right? Like rosary beads around your hand in one of your videos.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. So would you say you're pretty Catholic? Like, do you go to church regularly?
I am, actually. I don't go to church regularly, but I got this Jesus tattoo on me.
Love it, yeah.
And I got more other type of, you know, Catholicism tattoos around my body, but I am at the end of the day, because, like I said, that's just who we are. That's how we were raised. And
amen.
I believe in saints. I believe in the Virgin Mary. I believe in, you know, dare I say, La Santa Muerte. I believe in all that, because each of them, you know, just have their own specific things, you know. And that's one thing that we have that we're really strong with, is beliefs and faith.
Yeah. Did you ever believe, like, speaking of believing, you, when you're growing up, you know, like, did you believe in, like, La Llorona and the lady that drowned her children?
So yep.
All those they're mythical tales, the urban legends and that nature.
Ghosts, paranormal activities, everything. Yeah. I actually did.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Do you think that was passed on, like folklore, like that was passed on from your parents, your grandparents?
Yep, my dad was telling me that.
Telling you stories?
Yep, and there used to be a TV show back then in the 2000s growing up called Paranormal Extra, something like that.
Yeah, sure.
I used to watch heck out of it. Extra Normal, I don't know. It was something in Spanish. Like, it was Channel 62, Estrella TV.
Okay.
You remember that?
Yeah,
I used to watch
there. You watched the show, and what you believed in everything?
Well, some of it was like, whoa.
It wasn't real, though.
I know, but you were a kid. Yeah, I was a kid, so I wasn't like.
But you know it wasn't real, right? Now you do.
Nah, I still believe it, though. I still believe it, because we all have our own.
You're
like,
don't spoil Santa Claus for me, dude.
Yes, let me believe in that for me, please.
Do you find our world, obviously you and I have parallels because, you know, we're both Chicanos, but you and I grew up in a different time period than you did. You know, I'm basically a child from the 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, life was slightly different back then for us. But there's also parallels. There's things that are a lot alike. I mean, commonalities of in that we love to eat the same types of meals, right? You like tacos, and you go out there and you eat specific tacos.
Yeah.
And you like sopes, right?
Yeah, sopes, man.
Okay.
Sopes.
And, you know, here in the Valley, there's plenty of eateries. What would you recommend to someone that's watching? Like, where can you get authentic Mexican cuisine, per se?
Well, there's a lot of places in the Valley. You know, you could be in West Hills, you can be in Van Nuys, you can be in Pacoima, you can be in San Fernando. The only advice I could give you is look for something that has, like, a painting, like a mural. I have trouble with the art. It's all good. But if you see, like, a painting of that, and it looks like it's been stuck in the 90s, you know, with the decorations. That's a place, because that's how you know they don't care about the licks, because the food just talks for them.
All right. So you're saying, like,
holding the wall spots.
Holding the wall, yeah. So you're like, if it's not a place where it's too fancy.
It's modernized. It's all that. It's
not too gentrified.
Yeah, it's not that, because
you just go in there and the food is more authentic, right?
Exactly.
So, like, not to bag on some of the places, but like El Coyote has like watered down rice, and some of their food is no good.
I don't know. I haven't gone there, man.
Or places out here in the Valley that claim to be like the best Mexican, rated as the best Mexican plate dish.
I heard this one like joke that says if you see a menu in a chalkboard, that's
where you want to go.
No, that's where you don't want to go. You know, you want to go to those menus that have like those old school like vinyl sliders to tell you the prices. White wall, like movie theaters type stuff. Yeah,
well, where I grew up, like that's how it's become because it's very the gentrification is a real thing in Lincoln Heights, Highland Park, more so. Mm-hmm. You know, Eagle Rock area, all the places that I frequented as a kid, they're no longer what they used to be before. The food has changed definitely. And it caters more to a vegetarian, a vegan kind of a community, if you will.
Well, it's because you got a lot of people coming out from different areas to L.A.
Right.
And that area is, unfortunately, but it's true, low-income neighborhoods. And so it's easier for them to rent. That is true.
They're getting moved out. Like a lot of the people are getting pushed out to
because rent's getting too high for them.
The high desert and places in the outskirts of California.
Everyone's going up there to like Palmdale, Victorville, way up there.
And you grew up. So growing up, what was it like? Like, did you eat? What were your humble beginnings? You guys, your mom cooked at home mostly, right?
Yeah, she did, but also ate out because. You know, construction and all that stuff.
So who started? Is it a construction company that your dad owns? Or how did you get your start? Because you work constructions occasionally, right? You still work with your pops?
I still work with them. Okay. I worked with them yesterday and the day before. Today's my day off, so.
Are you building some cool buildings out here? Or what?
We're putting concrete, you know? Right. You know how we do.
Yeah. So tell me, how did your dad get started in this?
So my grandpa came to the United States, and my dad was studying in college over there in Mexico.
Okay.
But my grandpa told him, you want to come to the U.S., I'm going to go again. It's easy to cross over. Mm-hmm. And some of that took that opportunity. He came. Beautiful. He got his residency and his resident card in general.
Yeah.
And he started working with my grandpa. He told me that back then they used to rent a garage in, what is that place called?
Compton?
No, Pasadena.
Pasadena.
They rented a garage there. My grandpa, my dad, and like two other paisas. You know, like I don't know who they were, but
tell
they were just
people. What does paisa mean?
Paisas? Oh, man.
That's something that's been coming up in a lot of, a lot lately in different pods that I've noticed, different podcasts.
Paisas essentially just mean like, for me, because I don't have a definition for it, because I'm just so used to being one. It's essentially calling someone a homie, but like someone that's a real Mexican, you know? Like, that's my paisa right there.
Paisa comes from paisano, you know? From like, hey, dude, you're like my neighbor, like homeboy.
Paisano, yeah.
So that's where it started. And then over the years, in the prison cells, you know, the prison system, the people get divided based on if you're like, if you're a black person, you hang out with the blacks and the whites. And the
Asians.
And then the Mexicans, if you want to be like the Mexican Americans, the English speakers hang out with either Chicanos or you hang out with the paisas. And I think that's kind of where that kind of became a thing. It was coined back then.
I didn't know that. I just have it in my mind.
Yeah, everybody used to say in the old days, hey, paisa, can you help me with this? Hey, paisa, can you help me with that?
Yeah.
And over time, it became a thing where, dude.
Yeah,
you know, that's just those are the paisas.
That's like our version of saying bro, like hey bro, how's it going, bro? You know,
but it's good for the viewership and listenership to understand what that means.
And there's nothing negative against it, obviously. No. If you see a homie,
you're gonna get lynched next time they see you.
No, they're gonna call me paisa. Like, yo, what up, paisa? And I'm gonna be like, yo, you know, I accept it.
It's not a derogatory term. It's not. It's usually to address a person that speaks only Spanish and that has a they'll say like you just got off the boat, so to speak.
For us, it's we just crossed the border.
Crossed the border, right?
And that's fine.
And that's all good. It's all good. It's not derogatory.
Nope.
But you're talking about you grow up in what part of San Fernando? San Fernando is so big. You talk about San Fernando, the city of San Fernando?
No,
specific. Where?
I grew up in the Mid Valley,
like Van Nuys area?
Van Nuys, Van Nuys.
Okay, what school did you go to? High school?
John F. Kennedy High School.
Shout out to John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy, I'm sorry, but I dropped out. I dropped out of, speaking of John F. Kennedy, that's the first school where I really realized how divided and diverse everything was in the Valley, because I used to go to a middle school in like Panorama City, and it was a bunch of just, you know, Latino kids, right, just like me. But then I got transferred to go to Poitier Middle School in Granada Hills, and then just stayed going to Kennedy, which is in Granada Hills. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized, like, you know, this so much diversity, but that's when my insecurities started kicking in about just the way I look and the way I sounded. Because I'm not going to lie, as, like, observe as it sounds, like, yeah, I'm an artist, I'm using my voice as a platform, I was made fun of my voice.
Really?
Yeah, people were making fun of my voice because of the way I talk and everything. Okay. And, like, it really brought insecurity to me. Also, the way I looked, the way everything I was. And nowadays, you know, they're the ones stuck. They don't know what they want to do with their life because they follow me on Instagram. And not trying to be petty, but I kind of check to see how they're doing. And they're stuck. They haven't grown since the last time I saw them.
One of the greatest things I noticed about you is your ability to evolve. Like, you just finished saying that. You evolve. You're only like 25 years of age, and it's insane how thinking, you know, you have your thinking caps at all times, and and you're just ever, like, moving forward. And you have such an energy to you.
Thank you, man.
And
thank
a synergy that when you, like, start rapping, you're doing your thing, that's how it comes from passion. It
comes from my heart.
It comes from the heart, as you would
say. I feel it every time. Yeah.
Isn't that something? You could see it. It bleeds through in the camera, the picture, the video.
It's something that you feel. It's an aura, you know? As people are talking about it right now, you know, oh, that guy has aura. And that's true. You know?
You do. You do, man. And it's, you know, and so, and how do you, how, okay, because let's talk about the, how do the songs come about? How do your songs, how do those things come together in your head? Like, do you oftentimes, because I ask this question to musicians, I've had plenty here, but every person has a different methodical way, or it's like just things just come to you and you, like, write them down at night. Mm. Do you have like a booklet on your nightstand ready with the pencil, or what? Do you freestyle every time? You're just that quick.
We're in 2024. We don't have notebooks.
You're the only one, Jim, that can't. We got
iPhones, man, so we just go on notes. But
Do you write down some of your stuff? Like, it's, when it comes to you, does it come to you?
It's sometimes it does. Like, it comes to me at work, like like a hook, per se. Mm-hmm. But the best way it comes to me is if I tell, because I have a group of homies that make beats for me. Okay. And by homies, I mean, like, people I pay. to make beats for me. Yeah. But this one in New York, this one in Venezuela, this one in this. They, you know, mm-hmm. they're not Mexican, but they're Latinos. They understand the sound I'm craving for.
Right.
And so they send me a beat, and I can't just do any beat. It has to do something that just automatically clicks to me.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. I feel the emotion. I know what I'm supposed to do with it. And the first thing I do is I just start writing, like, okay, I like this beat. Every day it's a struggle for a young Chicano man like me. How can I survive? And all these people, you know, I just write stuff like that. And then the hook, it just comes naturally if I find the right beat for me, you know? And it's easy.
It just comes naturally, huh?
It comes naturally if I find the right beat. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like picking up a car at a dealership. Sure, you can drive any car, mm-hmm. but you have to be the one that, yeah. That's the one right there I see myself in. That's how I am with the beats. Because at the end of the day, that song is going to represent you. Do you want to be on a song that isn't a good beat, that doesn't really suit you well? You just hopped on it because there was nothing else? Or do you want to really, like, create it? Because let me dig a little deeper. Let's say a homie sends me a beat. It's a drum loop, and it has a sample behind it. And that's it. I dig it. I do my raps and everything. But then I hit up my other homie, yo, can you do some guitars here? And I hit up my other homie, yo, can you play some trumpets doing this part and this part and this part? And, you know, I start constructing my mindset to, like, really make, like, a stock car and send it to, like, one of my homies to do, like, you know, add some fenders up on that, some this off on that. And then I make something that's custom. It's a one-on-one because it was my brain, my idea. Yeah. There are people that are like-minded like me, but... there's no one that's going to be exactly like you. There's no one's going to be exactly like me.
Very
and so
unique,
I'm utilizing everything growing up, like I said, you know, like cumbia sound, ta 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 ta. And I just build it. Construction.
You're resourceful, dude. You, like, find things and just You bring it together, and your thought process is pretty cool.
The funny thing is, I don't look for it. It comes to me, and it feels like an out-of-body experience, not going to lie. Right. Have you seen the movie Doctor Strange?
Sure.
You know how, like, he's meditating? Like, you see the body, and you see, like, the spirit on top? Yeah. That's exactly how it feels like.
So it's an out-of-body experience that helps you bring these words together and stitch them up.
Whatever energy is coming to me, I bring it out.
Yeah.
And that's why you feel the passion behind it, because...
Yeah. Are you sure you're not on some like crazy drugs right now?
No. The only thing I do is just I smoke, which is legal in California, by the way. You know, so FBI watching. You know. I don't even drink alcohol. I don't drink caffeine, like coffee. I don't do none of that.
I do maybe just 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day.
That's too much.
No,
man.
It's not even enough.
I can't.
Bite your tongue. I wish I had 7 a day. It'd be great.
I can't, dude. I can't do coffee. I can't do that because I'm already a hyper dude.
Yeah.
So I tried coffee once and it kept me like really hyper, and I didn't like the feeling. Yeah. It was too cracked out, you know.
Yeah, really.
Not gonna lie, but like mindset wise,
sure.
I'm already hyper as it is, so weed tames it down, but it's still, it helps me also like open the mind.
Sure.
But now, you know, right now I'm not on it.
So when you're on, like when you smoke weed, it calms you down, and then it helps your creative juices come out and like flow, and then maybe something gives birth to a song or a thought. That then leads to the next thought, and then so on and so forth.
It's both of them. It's you know, I could write a song sober, or I could write a song on weed, and it just depends on the mood, honestly. If I feel like I'm stuck, if I'm having a writer's block, and I have an idea, but I just can't get it out, and it's right there at the tip of my tongue, I'm like, oh, what is it? You know, I take a hit. I smoke pens. Yeah, I don't smoke actual weed because
I respect.
Let me see. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's because I respect my household. Sure. You know, I don't want to be going smelling like that and all that. So I respect it. Same with my tattoos. I always wear long sleeves because I don't want to disrespect my household or disrespect, you know, the culture or like the way that we are. Because I don't want to put a bad name, a bad reputation. I don't want people to be looking and be like immediately stereotyping me.
Yeah.
You know, and I know I look like this, but. I just have that like gentleman like thing to me, like, you know, I gotta respect, so I'm always wearing long sleeve. Because if I be without my jacket, you'd be able to see my tattoos here, I got leg tattoos and all that. But
you got tattoos all over.
Well, not my chest.
You're like, oh, my spare time. Oh, I'll just go get tatted up today.
I've been wanting more. I got 13 so far, but I want more. But. Like I said, I'm respectful, and I don't.
Sure. No, you respect your household
for the culture
your family,
as well. Yeah. You know, like I want to be clean-cutted. You feel me? Like even though that's me, that's the culture. That's a Chicano culture, tattoos and all that stuff. That's a Chicano culture, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's like everywhere though, because you go to Mexico and people have tattoos over there as well.
They do.
A lot of people are tatted up. Like
yeah, here. But if you go to Mexico. And you see someone tattoos, like someone traditional will kind of say something like, oh, they're this, they're that, you know? But like I said, I don't want to be put in one position because I could be a lot of people at once. I'm not married, but I could be a husband. I could be a father. I could be an uncle, which I am an uncle. I'm a padrino now, you know?
He's a godfather.
I'm a son. Bro. I am a godfather. We out here representing. No, but
that's cool.
You know, I'm my mom and dad's son. I'm my grandparents' grandson. I'm a cousin. You know, like, and I just want to stay. I just want to stay me, which is cool.
True to yourself, bro.
Exactly. I mean, I can be more truer, but like I said, I just got too much respect for the culture. Yeah. That like,
I love that, dude. I mean. Honest to God, it's just great. In the year 2024, this guy emerges as like an awesome. You've been doing it, it's fair to note, for 8 years.
Since I was 17, since I dropped out of high school.
Yeah, so that was like, you already had your work cut out. That's what I'm doing. How about everybody else? And then,
and then
you've been doing and hustling ever since.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's great. Did you get your diploma or not? You didn't get your GED?
I'm one credit away to getting my diploma, but... Yeah.
I'll give you the credit. I'm a teacher. I'll give you the credit.
It's English, AB, for 10 AB. 10 B. I don't know. Okay. English 10.
Is that a ticket number?
It could be the DMV, like English 10B. Like, oh, I got it. Finally, been waiting for 8 years for this.
Hey, dude, what do you think about this whole bombshell with, I mean, let's face it, you know, address the elephant in the room, a Puff Daddy, P. Diddy. This cat is all over the news, man. You know, the indictment came out, and there's a lot of shit, a lot of stuff that is going to be unearthed pretty soon. There's probably a lot of people shaking in their boots.
Well, the industry is a shady place. That's the only thing I could say.
It's hard to crack into, huh? Isn't it? But
I don't want to ruin any chances, you know?
No. But you know, I also think easy does it. Like, I believe there's more than one way to skin a cat, as I used to say growing up. And there's a lot of ways of you know, you get seen now with the age of internet and the age of, like, technology as we know it.
Yeah.
There's so many places you could get seen at. Like, right now, we're being seen. 100,000 people are watching us, bro.
Right there. Yes, two. Okay? That's 100%.
There's people in Alaska that are shivering. That are listening to us. They're saying, fuck, there's this cat out in L.A. that's making waves and making noise, you know?
Thank you, man.
And this is the El Santo del Valle.
El Santo del Valle. Exactly how it's said. El Santo del Valle.
The Valley Saint. You know, the Saint of the Valley.
Yeah, the Saint of the Valley.
Exactly. That's pretty cool, bro.
The reason, I mean...
Okay, go ahead.
The reason why I call myself that, I already told you, I already explained to people, the viewers, but...
Do it again. There was some conviction, damn it.
The reason why I kind of gave myself that is because there's not a lot of people that are willing to speak out. You know, if you see these young Chicano people out there, and what they want to do, they don't want to represent Raza. They want to represent Nike brands. They want to wear Jordans. They want to wear this. They want to wear that. They want to wear, like, what?
Whatever's been dictated for them to wear.
Exactly. Like exactly.
Guy, oh, my God, he's wearing
this. You need the new iPhone. You need the new this. You got to follow materialistic stuff. Ignore your heritage. Sheep. Ignore everything. You know, ignore the culture. You got to buy and buy and buy. I'm not that person, man. It's, I'm still on an iPhone 12, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I love it. Works fine, right?
Well, that's what I was going to tell you, bro, because, like, the idea for you being here... It's because you're, like, not only the first Chicano that I have as a guest, but this is, like, Latino History Heritage Month, where a lot of people don't, you know, nobody really accentuates or talks a lot about our culture other than the same old, which is fantastic. I give it to everybody, but I hadn't had somebody as prideful as yourself. So when I... You comment, just dude, this guy is great, and it's funny because we know a few musicians that, you know, from the high desert, so that's pretty cool. Like, you know, from the olden, I haven't seen these cats in 7 years, dude, so.
Oh, can I shout out someone from the high desert? I want to shout out Obelisk, Jason Voorhees. I want to shout out Moiber Disciples, Moiber Media. They the homies.
There you go. Yeah. How about them apples?
Yep.
So what's next? I mean, I know you have a song that you say you were going to sample or, like, give us a little taste of El Santo del Valle. What's this new song you got cooking for us?
Well, I just released a song this Monday called Que Vas a Ser, featuring my dad.
Yeah, that's right. Your dad's in this. And did you pay him or?
I got him a case of beer, so he's fine.
He's more than paid. So you're gonna like, spit out some bars here for us tonight or what?
I got a new song up. Actually, I got a new album I'm working on. You know, ignore the song. I got a new album I'm working on. Yeah. It's called Cultura, and I already have the date set. Right now, I'm just working on the merch. I'm working on visualizers and all that, so that's going to take time. But it's going to come out next year, March 27th. So I know it's a while.
Mark your calendars.
So, March 27th,
Cultura. And the greatest thing of it all nowadays is that all you do is one or two clicks, and then the song travels to, like, four different platforms. Are you, like, a SoundCloud? And then there's newer ones, right?
This is a thing called DistroKid, where you could upload your song there, and it uploads it to your Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Deezer. It connects it to your Instagram. It connects it to YouTube. But you got to pay, you know, annually to be using it. It's a subscription-based thing. Not a sponsor, but could be. I'm helping you out, man.
I know. We need sponsors, guys, but, for sure.
See, this is a perfect example of Raza helping Raza. Sponsorship. DistroKid, I'm telling you.
Networking. You got to network one another.
Yeah, it's literally that easy. It's that easy to help another fellow paisano out, man.
I love it, bro.
It's
you got great energy, bro. And you're talented. You're hugely talented, and you're always welcome here if you're ever to come back.
Thank you.
You know?
I'm going to be here every time now. So. You can see me in the back over there just chilling, eating chips.
We could definitely arrange if you bring more, you know, bring some alcohol. And
nah.
Some
I don't drink, like I said, man.
Water.
Shout out water, man. I have the label flip up to that because I'm sponsoring this.
Yeah, exactly. You know the drill. You've been to a few of these before. you're gonna rap for us?
Let me do a quick verse if you don't mind. It's a song called Noche de Estrella. It's a cumbia sample song that I add some hip hop on it. Shout out to my homegirl Kimsey. She sang her song. Kimsey, this one's for you. I'm going to rap my verse. It says, Noches, yo no sé qué voy a hacer. Am I destined for this or am I trapped in my head? But I speak from the heart. I will never let this fall. Las estrellas de la noche are guiding me all. I am destined for this. I am made for this. Pray to the Holy Spirit. No, my soul will be well. Demon hunting everywhere, but I will never go to hell. Madre mía, dame tu energía. Ocupa tu amor para estar mejor. I just need to stop sinning and I got to start praying. That's just a quick taste.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's just thank you.
That's fire, dude. Like you're just spitting out lyrics. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And it comes from the heart.
No, definitely. It's because we got struggles, man. Yeah, sure. We got struggles. Yeah. We got unspoken struggles. We're the backbone of America's society.
For sure.
You're walking by and you see a tall building being built. Who do you see working?
You and your dad.
Shout out me and my dad. We out here building those big ass towers. No, but dead ass though. It's like,
have you run into anybody like when you're working, as they would say, hey dude, you should come rap for me or something?
I haven't come across an artist, but I came across a guy that produced a song for Selena. Dreaming of You?
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah, his name is Guy Roach. Guy, like French, like essentially how to say Guy, Roche. And he's made songs for Cher, Enrique Iglesias, Christina Aguilera, Aaliyah, you know, 90s Aaliyah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Selena, Dreaming of You, that went platinum. I saw his platinum stuff there. He has a home studio.
A home studio.
Yeah, we were doing concrete, pouring a new driveway and all that stuff. And my dad was like, hey, you know, I was looking through his pack house. Because you know how garages now like converts into like any house?
Let me ask you something.
What's that?
Was he there or wasn't there?
He was there.
And they said, hey, I'll be right back, guys. And he went into the studio. Dude, look, I'm going to drop.
Nah, yeah, let me break in real quick and check it out. Nah. In all fairness, though, he was there. He was there.
He showed you around, basically. And said, hey, let's collaborate.
He told me, he was like, you know, your dad told me that you make music, and I'm like, I do. He's like, oh, in 15 minutes, you know, let me show you around.
Nice, dude.
So he invited me in his studio, and it was a nice studio. I really enjoyed it.
Did
and he
smoke
told me,
him out, bro? Did you talk him out or not?
Nah, he don't smoke, man. Yeah. He's a genius. He's a genius. I learned so much from those.
Really?
Dude, he gave me three 2-hour studio sessions for free. They didn't charge me. And he charges, you know, industry level prices.
Pretty penny, bro. Yeah.
So, like, I'm just so lucky and blessed to have that opportunity. Because who would expect a guy that with that level would let a Chicano construction guy, a Mexican construction guy,
makes for a good movie, bro. Like, that cinematic shit's quality right
there. It really is.
We could just make a movie right now, bro. Like, with your dad and you.
Well, let me die first. And I'm just kidding. Knock on wood, bro. No, but it could be.
That's not wood. You're in trouble.
No. I'm not speaking that to universe. That's a joke. It's called universe. It's called sarcasm, please. But, no, he really let me in and.
He showed you the way, showed you around the house and stuff.
His studio, yeah.
His place pretty big.
And it's like a, you know those guest houses that are in the back of the house? Garage conversion to that? Yeah. It was that. It was like a room that was a studio, and it was like a bathroom, and it was a recording booth, and it was like a little, like, kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was pretty much it. But
you know what happened, bro? That was meant to be, dude.
Honestly, it was.
Put it out there, and God made it happen, dude, for you.
Like, but that's exactly what's fun. It's because you don't. Exactly. I'm not out there struggling like, oh, you know, give me that attention. I want it. It's just right time.
It happens to you, bro. I've known a lot of people that they call it at the right time, at the right place. It's God's timing, not a second later, not a second sooner. Like it happens when it's going to happen when you keep chipping at it because you know you feel what's right.
Exactly.
You feel like this is my pathway. This is the way I'm supposed to go. And then everything, all the stars line up for you. And before you know it, you're doing great things, man.
Exactly.
Things will happen to you within, like, all it takes is one good handshake with someone. Like, you meet, and then your life changes.
Honestly, and that's, like you said, speaking of the age of the internet, anyone can see you. Mm-hmm. For all we know, one person can just go on YouTube, just click on something, I'll pop up, and that's it. You know, that's my gateway. It's so easy, but it's so difficult. Because a lot of people are doing what I'm doing. I mean, you know.
There's enough space at the top, bro, for everybody.
There is, but they're greedy as well. But think about it. There's a lot of struggling artists in the Los Angeles. You know, they could not be as great, but there are some that are greater than me. But we are all in one ocean and we're full. Like, how can you stand out in a sea full of people?
Look at you, bro. You stand out.
That's what I'm doing. It's called branding. And how can I brand myself better than my own flag?
You know what you got to do? You got to do like town hall meetings. You should go like to town hall meetings in San Fernando and different places. And then you'd be right there with the politicians. Then and say, you know what? Just kind of do your thing, bro. Like,
just wear this jacket. I'd be like, whatever.
Right.
I'm Santo de Advice.
I've seen cats like for the, you know, I'm a limo driver, right? Or I've driven for many years. And when we drive, I've seen cats with jackets, brand, you know, like with their artist picture in the back, walking, like just giving people flyers and saying, yo, what's up? Hey, man, I'm so and so. And you got to kind of like fake it till you make it too, right? What do you think?
No.
You don't feel that way?
Well, it depends on what you mean by fake it, by you make it. Like, I could fake
you
it.
Let me demystify and make it easier and not so much for you, but for people that are watching. Okay.
Go ahead.
One thing is, let me chop it down to the lower block. I meant in the sense, let me contextualize it, is the right way to say it. I'm as deep as you are, by the way. I'm very profound. You don't even know. And we don't have enough time to talk. I go on for hours. So here's the deal. In a nutshell, what I mean is you sort of act like, you know, you have the talent because you got to be able to back it up.
Yeah.
Which you already have. But to some degree, you got to get in there.
Yeah.
You have to face your fear. You got to go to these industry parties, wherever there's a party. It doesn't matter what. When I say industry, I'm not talking about the top echelons. You start at the bottom parties. And then you go to these parties and you meet people. And then all it takes is one good opportunity, one good handshake, or oops, excuse me, ma'am, I dropped my alcohol all over you. That person might say, hey, you know what? Oh, my God, I like your jacket. I like your swag, your drip, or however you guys say it nowadays. I'm old, bro, so it's like, say swag, you know, like, you know, your threads, right?
No,
so
yeah.
So I like your style. Hey, man, you know, and you break, you know, you start talking. Well, you know, as a matter of fact, they just drop some. And there's something they like. Hey, would you mind we sample this? Because I represent so-and-so. But the idea that you come in there, you know, like you're representing yourself. So you go in there with all the attitude you got to have. And, you know, you got to believe in yourself. When you go into, like, I come in here, and this is for me, I've been doing it for a while, but I'm an actor. So I come in here, and I just put on the hat.
This is your role.
This is my deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get what you mean. Like, you're essentially acting, but without you realizing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because, you know what I'm saying? And that's what you do as a musician, as an actor, as... I've gone to so many industry parties growing up. You don't even know. Yeah. But guess what? It's about having what it takes. It's about having the right verbiage, the right communication skills. How are you going to talk to these people? What are you going to say? And then just going with the flow. Dude, you're at a party. What do people do? Relax. Man. Let your hair down, so to speak.
No, yeah,
I don't have long hair anymore. But, you know, you go in there and talk to people. make those associations. Everything is networking, and you know that.
It is.
You go to one place, hey, bro, you know, I like your style. You want to come to my... I said, that's so-and-so. Oh, shit. That's... You're like, holy shit, that's so-and-so in the party. You don't make it obvious, but under your breath, you're like, that's pretty cool, bro. Right?
I mean, I like exactly what you said, but the thing is, I'm not faking it. Like you said, like confident with all that. Yeah. That's just me.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me really genuine when people are meeting up. Because every time I go perform and then I talk with people, they'll be like, oh, you're going to make it, man. You're going to make it. And also, like, getting noticed as well. I went to Mexico last month and someone, I was at a party because I was a padrino. So, you know, I was at a party afterwards.
He had a baptism and he baptized the child that makes him a godfather.
Sorry. He's that's translating okay. for the viewers, man.
That's my job, bro. So go ahead.
I'm just going to speak in Spanish for the rest of the show and you just try to say that. That'd be cool.
I can do that too, actually.
So estaba en Mexico.
I was in Mexico.
Estaban en un party.
And I was at a party having a blast and getting higher than a
car. Oh, my God. That's not exactly what I said. No, I'm just kidding. No, but...
Yeah, you're at a party.
So I made a song called El Panadero, and it was featured one of my homies, Daniel Molina, who's in the Valley, and another homie, a homegirl, that was in Mexico. Her name's Victoria.
Very cool.
And so we collabed in a song... And it came out this year in February, El Panadero. I sampled the song El Panadero. Sure. El Panadero con el pan. I sampled that.
Yeah.
And so I was just chilling, literally walking to go inside my grandparents' house because we have a casino in the back. It's like a big, like a big open space area, like a venue in a way.
Like an atrium of sorts?
Like a venue. Yeah, venue. Like really close venue. And it has like the big metal like roof to really cover. Yeah. It's a really nice area. Okay. And we host parties there all the time.
Showing off.
No, I'm not showing up. I'm just saying I'm proud of where it's at.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Miss Brown Pride speaking.
So
I went and I was walking to my grandparents' house and Banda was coming to set up. So they were bringing the subwoofer, their equipment and instrument, and the driver dude.
Like heavy metal in Mexico. Boom, 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 boom. It's some great stuff, though, man. Yeah.
It's dope. But I like banda, but I can't dance for shit, so I don't dance. Yeah. But anyways, it's going back to the story.
Yeah, what happened? How did you start?
So I was walking.
Machine that whole idea. What?
No, I was just walking. I was chilling. The song's been out for like since the beginning of the year, and someone was like, hey, tú eres el Santo del Valle? Hey, are you el Santo del Valle? And I'm like, oh, yeah, what's like up, man?
Americanized, like, you're El Santo del Valle.
El Santo del Valle. El Santo del Valle, you know?
Valley, yeah. And wait, that's pretty cool.
No, it's just one random person. He was like, oh, my cousin is Victoria. And I heard this song. Yeah. And I'm like, I wasn't even dressed to be like the artist, quote unquote.
Sure.
Anything. It's just my face that they recognize, my face and my hairstyle. And they're like, hey, are you a Santo del Valle? I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't have like a tattoo that I was showing off that people know that, oh, that's a Santo del Valle.
So hard work does pay off.
Yes, it does pay off because
consistency.
You see it. Bro. You see it. Like, don't ever doubt yourself because you never know. If, like I said, you never know who's watching. That guy watched the song.
Especially
that guy.
On Almost Famous with Jim Francis.
Yeah.
Somebody could be watching.
But here, like I said, I'm going to shout myself out all this time. El Santo del Valle. Check me out. Instagram, YouTube. Literally Google anything. El Santo del Valle.
Let me ask you. We got like two more minutes. I want to touch on, like, how many albums have you done over the course of 8 years? Songs or, I don't know. I mean, is it? It's a different time period for me. It's albums, but
no, it's albums.
Or, you know.
Well, idealistically, I changed my name. This is my third time I changed it, and it's the final one I'm gonna keep. El Santo del Valle. I used to go by, they used to call me Checoline. That was my nickname growing up. So I used to go by that, and then I went to Saint Sergi, and then I just changed it to El Santo del Valle. But I released over 150 songs during
Holy
the eight.
Shit, really?
Yeah, it's consistency. It's consistency. Over 100 songs. So that was like 10 albums. My last name is Saint Sergi.
Wow,
and like three albums in the first name.
That's so badass.
And so right now, Santo del Valle, I got one album. I got a collab project that's out that my homie, like, he plays a lot of alternative music and like psychedelic guitars, bass stuff. And I collab on a hip hop song. So it was the first time for him. Having a rap around and stuff or a vocal and stuff, and it was my first time rapping on that because I love alternative music.
Yeah.
So we collab on that. It's called Corpus Christi. That's, check that out too. Corpus Ooh. Christi, Santo del Valle, So Young.
That's Corpus Christi, Texas.
Yeah, but I did it in honor of Selena. Okay. You know? And it's also religious as well. You know, yeah, Corpus Christi, the blood of Christ. And so.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, like the body of Christ, you know. Corpus, like corpus.
Yeah.
And
body of Christ.
Yeah. So, like I said, everything's connected, man. And right now, I have I think 2-3 singles out. I'm unsure, but I'm releasing the album.
Go look up this cat. He has warrants and stuff. Cops, go get him.
You already said my name.
Go follow this guy. He is unbelievable. Thank you. I am blessed, beyond blessed, to have you on the show. Thank you for making it out to the show. Thank you. Anything else you want to say before we rock and roll?
Well, I just want to say this for the people out there that feel like they're lost. I was once lost, too. Never give up. It's true what they say. Never give up. There will always be a path for you. The world has already created your story. It's just up to you to keep writing it. Because the book is already written. You just got to complete it. So whether you're going through a struggle, go through it. Because that struggle will mold you to be a better person. I've been through a lot of heavy stuff, a lot of losses, a lot of everything. I got cousins who overdosed. I got pets that, you know, passed away. I've been through, like, terrible relationships.
I do comedy, so
you're good, man. You're good. You better not be roasting me, though. There was this cat named Santo del Valle. His dogs died, man, you know? No, but you see, comedy is the best humor, man. Like, black comedy. I love it, bro. Dark comedy, dark humor. It's, I love it.
It really is great humor, right? It's great medicine, bro.
Just go through that. The pain will shape you to be a better person. Trust me, there's light in the end of the tunnel. There is.
With that, guys, thank you so much for another show of Almost Famous. Yours truly, Jim Francis Mesa. Follow this cat, El Santo del Valle. Thank you very much.
Representing.
You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Mesa, only on LA Talk Radio.